and PS4 as an example, those systems actually have copy protection mechanism like encryption stuff built right into them. So this is proprietary information, and you won't be able to get any information on the net about this because everyone that actually knows about it has signed an NDA, so he's not allowed to talk about it. So in the end, a lot of the stuff that you get when an emulator is being made is made on assumptions, it's made on myths, and so on. And people just start working and try where they get. This is usually how all the major emulators today actually started when they were being conceived. In some cases, you get quick and dirty code, which means it's not industrial code, which is meant to be refactored, which is meant to be maintained. It's just something people need, something that is actually working, and they do it, and it's looking fine. So then you have the problem to port it later on. And of course, people are always looking to make a faster emulator. So instead of having something that can be well maintained, but it's not the fastest code, but easy to migrate, things are being done so they only work on a certain platform of a host system like the Windows emulator that can run, let's say, Amiga stuff, but you couldn't port this emulator to a Linux or macOS machine because it's using stuff that's built right into Windows. So talking about that, emulators can be troublesome, especially if they're very old, if their code base goes back to, let's say, for over a decade, then this can actually become a problem for you. Most emulators are actually being developed because people have access to software, and the software they have is the software they still have stored in their basement. That usually is all the stuff we collected when we were kids, which means it's a disk box full of cracks where everything, like all the hottest games we had back in the day, is in there. And you start making an emulator, and you start working on something because you assume that what you're using is what you'll be using all day, which means this emulator is based on secondhand data. Usually such cracks have the copy protection removed. They might even be enhanced because, talking of the C64, there were different revisions, like also for the Amiga and so on, which means sometimes there were bugs that would only pop up on a certain revision of the machine. All this stuff usually gets fixed in cracks, and there's still cracks being released today, which is actually a great thing if you just want to play those games, because you can get single disc games where you don't have to swap the disc anymore, bugs have been removed, and so on. And of course, all these cracks will be using standard disc coding, because the idea of a crack is that it can be shared and given to friends. So in the end, that means the emulation that's being made, the emulator, is usually only as good as needed, because there's nothing else you could use to test or find out if it's not, or it shouldn't be better, because it's running everything you have. So over time, this emulator and the image format start to create a de facto standard, because everyone is using it and it's looking to be fine. So that's a status quo. Talking about that, you usually have a so-called sector dump, which is a straight representation of the data on the floppy disk put into an image file. It's all the data that you actually get from the controller. It's completely decoded, so there's no coding in there anymore. If you'd be dumping a disk that has text files on them, and you'd be loading the sector dump into a word processing editor, you would see there's all kinds of stuff, but also your text in decoded structure. Usually you don't have any metadata, or if you have, it's just a little. More important, these disks don't have any structure information, which means if the system is known to have 80 tracks and every track has a kilobyte of data, then you have 80 by 1 kilobyte, and that is your image file. You don't have any information if any track would have a different geometry. This can be an issue if you actually run into some software that would be messing with that. So these stuff, these image files, usually get extended over time. They are improved to, let's say, like if you have no structure information, you might want to add something because you encounter a game or a program that actually needs such information, then you can add it. But you, of course, cannot store any hidden stuff, any different encoding, like for copy protection. And just talking about copy protection for a minute, back in the day, and even today, copy protection is important, but today you have or the convenient thing for a system developer or for a company that is selling software is that they can always push out an update, which means for the PS3 or the PS4 or the Xbox, for all the modern game consoles, these are online. So the moment the security system would be defeated, you could just push out an update with an updated security system. Back in the day, that didn't work. So that actually meant copy protection is war. And we do have evidence, we do have games that are really bad, but we have state-of-the-art copy protection because it was very important to have at least 2, 3, 4 weeks after release where your game wouldn't be spread in the wild. This was the time where you'd be selling. So of course you had the intention to use the best copy protection you could get for money. So this is what's actually being done. And copy protection will of course also use everything that can be used to disguise what the code is doing. So of course undocumented hardware features that are in the platform will be used by copy protection. And yeah, now you run into a problem because you need another format because the sector dump you've been using before for all your cracked stuff doesn't work anymore. So you need to move on to something else. So speaking of Vice, there was the G64 format, the image file being created, which is meant to store raw data. And raw data, in the terms of the community emulator development teams, is the data that is actually coming from the disk. But the question is, what is coming from the disk? Because normally the community would be dumping system data on a vintage system, which would mean on a C64 that you'd be using a Commodore 1541 floppy drive to do all your ingestion work. Now talking about the drive, can you actually see what's on the disk? No. What you can do is, this 1541 is a separate computer, it has its own CPU, its own memory. What you can do is, you can pull data from the disk, have it processed, and then hand it over to the host computer. So usually, if you go down to the lowest level, you get something in between the original raw, which would be the flux, the change of flux, the change of polarity on the disk surface, and decoded data is somewhere in between. So the major issue is that you get meaningful data, but you really can't get down to the cause, which means, speaking of an equation, you would get the result, but not know the equation itself. So like the example I've picked here, if you get a 5, you'd never know if the equation was 4 plus 1 or 2 plus 3. So yeah, most of this stuff is well meant, and built to a certain level, but there's always more room for improvement if you'd want to be really exact to the original system how it worked. So you run into the problem of having a format where you can put raw data into, but you will still have software that is not working in your image container. So what people do is they really don't care about being pure or being academic or being scientifically correct. And it's okay because they don't have to. They just want to play a game. So what they do is they start modifying such games. And what happens as next step is because the net wants to collect, that these half-cracked images end up in community-driven preservation efforts. There are many websites out there that have a lot of these images online, and you never know, is this something that is coming from the floppy drive, or is this something that's been tampered with? Because you actually have how-tos online that will tell you in detail how to dump a certain game and what to modify to make it work in emulation. So that means you get a handbook that just goes that shows you every step, what you have to do really from putting the floppy disk into the floppy drive until you have your image that you can use in emulation. It will even go down to giving you all the assembler code and outlining what it does. So that's a lot of information, a lot of knowledge that's actually there, but all of this is only happening because the image container doesn't do what it should do. It doesn't contain the game in a way that you could just use it in emulation. So when we started imaging C64 stuff with Cryoflux, and Cryoflux can read the true data that is coming from the floppy disk, we found out that the emulator was only so good that it would read certain kinds of protections and others wouldn't be working, just because nobody ever had fed such information into VICE. So we actually said, okay, we have to go back to VICE. We just can't concentrate on dumping and making a dumping solution. We actually have to make the emulation so good that we can use the data we ingest from our floppy disks. So we went down into the hardware level, which means we took all the original schematics, we took all original hardware, and we took logic analyzers, and we simulated all the circuits in there to find out actually what is happening when a bit flux change is coming from the floppy drive and going into this ecosystem. How is it flowing through the system and how will it be represented in the end? So we found out that actually because the C64 is a 1 MHz machine, nobody ever thought about making the floppy precision better than 1 MHz, because the host system is only 1 MHz, so why use anything beyond that? That's pretty easy, because the analog backend of the floppy drive, if you translate it into the digital domain, is working at 16 MHz. So what we did was lift it internally to 16 MHz to do all the processing like it was being done at 16 MHz in the analog domain, and then feed it into the emulation. So we now have VICE, a version of VICE, and the code is out there, and it's even being integrated, at least partially, into the main fork of VICE. We have a VICE that actually can run real dumps that are coming from the disk without any modification, with any changes. We had to add a little information into the G64 because it was missing some stuff. And this also means that we can now, that we are now in the great position to say that we can also use the data we ingested for emulation, can also be written back to disk and will be a perfect clone of the original. So having the container and preserving the hardware means you can always recreate a disk and use it for an exhibition for people to experience how it was back in the day, or you can just load it in emulation. But when we did these changes to VICE, we also broke a lot of old images, because all these were edited, modified, and changed to work in a VICE that wasn't perfect, or not as perfect as it is today. So a lot of those games that were changed to work like around the missing resolution in the floppy drive, which only was 1 MHz and not 16 MHz, now break when you load them in emulation. The funny thing is that the original data that was captured in the first place, even with the legacy hardware, in many cases works fine in VICE. So speaking of that, let's draw some conclusions from what we encountered. When you're dumping for preservation from a legacy system, you should make sure that you always store what you've read in the first place. There's really no reason to toss this data. And speaking of the Software Preservation Society, speaking of SPS and about more than 8,000 games that we have preserved, where we actually created preservation containers, we still have the original data that was taken from the original floppy disk. Because if we actually made a mistake, you won't have the chance to go back to the original data in 20 years from now, because all our floppy disks are very likely to be gone and won't read anymore. So we do have that original data. We can still feed it into the processing pipeline again and recreate new containers. We always have the original. Don't toss it away. Make sure you always keep what was coming from the floppy disk. This is your first-hand data. And as a second thing, don't modify data. It might sound rude, but yes, if you take data from a vintage system and you feed it into emulation and it doesn't work, you have a problem with ingestion or with emulation. Because assuming that the data on the disk is fine, which is something you at least have to start with, there is really no reason you should be modifying that data, unless this is the last copy, you will never get another one again, and you know the problem is maybe like in the source, then you can start with it. But in all other scenarios, that means you are not willing to put any work into repairing ingestion or making emulation better, which is what you should be doing, because in the end, the time you put in there means you won't have to modify every single game in the end. You just work on the emulator. If the emulator is good, you can use whatever data you put in there if it's true to the original. Speaking of the emulator itself, it might be a good thing to actually store the emulators you have used. Since it is open source, you can also get the source code, so take that as well, put it into your archive, and take notes to make sure that like these games worked with VICE before we made the change to 16 megahertz in the floppy emulation. So that would be good for a preserving institution to have all the old images, because before you toss them away, just keep them and make sure that you have them. So just in case you don't get a newer version to redump it, you can use your old dump, even if it should be modified or whatever. Just keep it, just make sure everything has the proper notes and information and everything that's been modified has been marked. But again, usually you don't have to modify the data if the ingestion or the emulation is fine. Yeah, and last hint or thing I'd like to add, use version notes. If you conduct research, make sure that you take down notes, the exact version of VICE. It might be a different build, it might be a nightly build or whatever. Make sure this gets noted, make sure that you keep this information on file. So having said that, thank you very much for listening, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. If you have any questions about this, feel free to email me, or as I've been told, we should be having a Q&A at the end of this panel. So I'll be here. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Thank you very much.